football on Off the Ball.
Private equity has been buying stakes in leagues for a while, and it always works really nicely for private equity.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Bohemians and Shelburne advance to the third qualifying round of the Conference League, with Shell set to face Ajax. Shamrock Rovers can go 10 points clear at the top of the Premier Division in our live commentary game on Off the Ball. Things go from bad to worse for FIFA President Gianni Infantino, with his senior advisor quitting, and the Asian Football Confederation the latest to oppose his World Cup sell-off. And tributes are being paid to Italian football legend Franco Baresi, who's died at the age of 66. First up, though, Bohemians and Shelburne can both look forward to more European football next week after both advanced to the third qualifying round of the Conference League. Bohs beat Kosovan side Balkany 5-4 on penalties in Pristina, where it finished 4-all on aggregate. That after the home side had won 3-2 on the night. Alan Reynolds' side took a 2-1 first leg lead into last night, but they were behind after just 10 minutes. However, a penalty from Douglas James Taylor in the 20th minute edged Bohs back in front in the tie. Balkany scored twice in the first 15 minutes of the second half and were on course to advance, but Pat Hickey sent the tie to extra time at a goal in the 88th minute. No goals in extra time. Bohs then scored all five penalties in the shootout to go through. Whelan, Devoy, Byrne, Rooney and Flores, the players to step up. So Bohs will now play Midtjylland of Denmark. They lost 3-0 on aggregate to Besiktas. Alan Reynolds described it as a special night. He said it's a highlight of his career and up there with the best nights they've had. But it remains to be seen where the home leg will be played for Bohs, who are unable to use Dalymount Park at this stage of the competition. Shelburne will play Dutch giants Ajax in the next round, with the first leg in Amsterdam next week. Shells lost 2-1 to Kalju in Estonia last night, but won the tie 6-4 on aggregate thanks to their 5-2 win at Talca Park last week and John Russell's first home game in charge. Kerr McEnroy started the second leg last night, and Shells will play the home leg at Talca Park against Ajax, having secured permission from UEFA despite it not meeting requirements to host the third round qualifier. Bohs and Shells are also both guaranteed just over €1 million in prize money. Derry City's European campaign came to an end, though, last night. Tiernan Lynch's side were beaten 1-0 at home to Rijeka, who won 2-0 on aggregate. The Croatians scored after 14 minutes to make it a long way back for Derry. Shells, Bohs and Derry will all be back in action on Sunday in the Premier Division, which means there are only two games tonight. League leader Shamrock Rovers will look to bounce back from their Champions League exit. The champions can go 10 points clear if they win away to Drogheda United. That's our live commentary game and Off the Ball. No doubt Stephen Bradley will have an eye on Tuesday's Europa League qualifier against Ignacia of Albania, who come to Tala for the first leg. It'll be a first game in the league for Rovers since the start of the month. And Rovers striker Jonathan Afolabi told the in-house media team he'll be hoping to get more minutes under his belt after three substitute appearances in Europe since his arrival.
Yeah, getting better every day. Every match, every minute I get on the field, I feel stronger every day. And hopefully that continues and I'll be able to make my first start or play more minutes.
Stephen Doyle will be joined by Owen Heary in commentary for tonight's game at Sullivan and Lamb Park. And you can hear the game on Off the Ball on News Talk and the Go Loud app. Kickoff is 8 o'clock. The other game in the Premier Division tonight is between 4th place Dundalk and bottom side Sligo Rovers at Oriel Park. Sligo need a win to move off the bottom. A draw would see them join 2nd from bottom Waterford on 22 points. That game starts at 7:45. Also, a full round of games in the 1st Division. Leaders Cork City are away to bottom side Finn Harps. Cork are 14 points clear of 2nd place Bray Wanderers, who play Kerry at the Carlisle Grounds. Athlone are at home to UCD. It's Cove Ramblers against Wexford and Treaty United play Limerick. Those matches all start at 7:45. And Football Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Now, a senior advisor to Gianni Infantino has quit in protest at the FIFA president's plan for private investment. Carlos Cordero says it's a bad deal and that he can't stand by with FIFA considering selling stakes in its tournaments, including the World Cup. The Asian Football Confederation has also joined UEFA and CONCACAF in opposing FIFA's plans. The AFC has called for FIFA to undertake an urgent review of its governance and says it has deep concerns about plans to sell a stake in the World Cup. UEFA held an emergency meeting yesterday and announced all 55 members will boycott all FIFA competitions until the project is scrapped. The FAI are in support of UEFA, which means it could impact Ireland's World Cup qualifiers later this year. Carlo Ward's side are due to play Kazakhstan in October in a World Cup playoff semi-final. CONCACAF is in charge of North and Central America and obviously hosted this year's World Cup. It has 41 member associations. FIFA issued a statement to say nobody is selling football. It says it plans to continue the consultation process regarding selling off stakes in a World Cup company to private investors. Tarek Panja from the New York Times and Gavin Cooney from the Irish Times joined Eoin Sheehan and Off the Ball last night and said a UEFA boycott would certainly make things interesting.
Football needs a fundamental change, like really big structural changes. Things like this have happened because 10 years ago that these people have been dragged out of bed in a five-star hotel and a major scandal in global sport, and FIFA was supposed to be reformed, transparent, and we'd see those dark days behind us. I think what we've seen, particularly in the latter half of the 10 years Gianni Infantino's been there, is an extremely dark period in FIFA's history. Perhaps not the cartoon corruption that we had seen in the period that brought him to office, but in terms of governance, in terms of standards, in terms of transparency, this moment, in a way, could be a huge boon to football in the world and global governance. Don't forget, in Infantino's period, we somehow managed to deliver a World Cup to Saudi Arabia. So much has happened that the news cycle is so fast, without him ever having to answer any questions about how that managed to happen. We've seen him somehow use Saudi Arabia again to deliver a Club World Cup and the cash from this. The Peace Prize and some of the things we smile at and we laugh at, but they're all part of the same. It's all about poor governance, the fact that these 211 nations, they have been kind of acquiesced into silence in different ways, whether it's going to be, you know, a stipend, a committee place, dare I say, 20 million windfall, things like that. So structurally, nothing really changed. And maybe if he does get, say, the 106 football associations that want to go along with him, I wouldn't mind seeing that and then seeing what happens. Because I actually want to see the boycott and the implications of that. I can't see this deal happening in a meaningful way in the long term, like i.e. 20% are going to own this. But if there's a way for this to be signed off, I would like to see that because I want to see the implications of this.
Like, I don't know how he can continue this plan if he can't split the UEFA coalition, because the World Cup has almost zero commercial potential without European teams added. I mean, it ceases to be the World Cup, and that is FIFA's cash cow. That's their jewel in the crown. That's what makes them money. So I would assume that if he has to junk these plans, then he has to save face. And he has the playbook to save face. He can pander to the global south and say, look at what these terrible colonial Europeans are doing once again. They're taking the ball away. You know, he merely needs to repeat a lot of his speech on the eve of the Qatar World Cup. So then we turn to his kind of longer term future. He's due to stand unopposed for re-election next year. At the moment, no one is emerging from the shadows to challenge him. After this challenge to his authority and his clear detonating of his credibility, maybe we will see a challenger emerge. I think that this may be the moment that he has finally flown too close to the sun. We've said that a lot of times before. We'll have to see how it plays out. But I am also agree with Tarek that there is a part of me, an almost nihilistic part of me, that would have liked to see this go ahead, because of the good disinfectant that is sunlight.
And if you want to listen to any of that back, you can do so now in your OTB football podcast feed. Tributes are pouring in for Italian football legend Franco Baresi, who has sadly died at the age of 66. The defender won 3 European Cups and 6 Serie A titles with Milan. Baresi was part of Italy's 1982 World Cup winning squad. He would have also been in the Italy teams that played Ireland at the 1990 and 94 World Cups. He spent his entire 20-year career with Milan, from 1977 until he retired in 1997. Regarded as one of the greatest defenders to play the game, Baresi captained Milan for 15 seasons. He made 719 appearances and scored 33 goals. He was part of European football's most celebrated defence, alongside Paolo Maldini, Alessandro Costacurta and Mauro Tassotti. In 2020, Baresi became honorary vice president of Milan, and the club also retired his number 6 shirt 4 years later. Commentator George Hamilton was there to witness Baresi and football's greatest age.
A man who was one of the greats of European football, one of the greatest defences of European football was that of AC Milan, which won European Cups and Serie A's. And he was the captain of Italy, came back from a knee injury to captain Italy in the final of the World Cup in 1994. And a one-club man throughout his career, a man who embodied everything that's good about the sport of professional football.
Former Newcastle manager Chris Hughton says Eddie Howe will go down as one of the club's all-time greats. Howe has left St James's Park after 5 years in the role, and German Matthias Jeisle is expected to take over. Howe delivered the club's first domestic trophy for 70 years when they won the EFL Cup last year. Hughton says he's made a huge impact on Tyneside.
He's done an incredible job. I think the timing is, I think, right for him. I think with the direction where the club is going at the moment, and I think the period of time that he's been there and the job that he's done.
And former Newcastle co-owner Amanda Staveley has submitted an offer to buy a 25% stake in West Ham. She's part of a consortium hoping to take the stake owned by the Gull family, but existing investors have first refusal on any shares that change hands. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan, and we'll be back with more next week.
Football Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.